This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 2nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. It's our last show before the 4th of July, so happy 4th in advance. And hopefully it'll be a nice evening wherever you are for fireworks. All right, so that said, Johnny Caudill sent me an email, and I noticed it right away because if you know the Carolinas, if you know radio or weather for that matter, tons of weather, you know Johnny Caudill. And he started an online petition to preserve WBT's transmitter site, which I think is wonderful. You know, we've talked a lot about this. It's a long shot because, of course, Urban One, they're smart. They've already said it's dedicated to housing. And, you know, there's probably a parenthetical clause there that talks about low income or something else that the community will embrace. You know how that type stuff is, some do-good deal. But regardless, I hated to be right about that. I've been saying since January all their stunting was not about a new format, which I think their program director actually believed that. But they sold him a bill of goods. He might believe in Santa Claus, too. I don't know. But in any event, the deal is set and the property's been marketed and it's under contract. And so, but Johnny went a step further. He contacted the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Historical Landmarks Department to see whether there were any preservation options. Turns out there very well may be. And there's incentive for that, too, by the way, tax incentives and other stuff like that. The department actually expressed interest in potentially acquiring the transmitter building and maybe a portion of the site. And it's interesting that Johnny had a great idea, used that for a Carolina Broadcast Museum, and I think that would be great. I want a beach music room. That's the deal. And John Hancock, who you probably remember from WBT, is publicly voiced support. I've signed the petition already, and I will have it on my website. I was working on that before the show, but I can't bend time no matter how much I try, but hopefully during a commercial break, I'll get that link up. And Johnny also takes pictures of transmitter sites. So what I want to do is implore him to do something with 400 Radio Road, the Big Ways site, because, Tom's and Kaplan, that was it wasn't Jefferson Pilot, okay, it didn't have that kind of deal, but it had a lot of fun, that's for sure. So I think it is absolutely worthy of recognition or preservation, and Johnny said he'd be grateful if I'd reach out to Stuart Gray or Hunter Barron. You know the deal with my call list, don't you? The only way to get off it is to die. And I know I'm terrible at this. Now, if I could call people at 4 in the morning, I'd be right on it. But, you know, I got plenty of time between, say, 3 and 5 a.m. Doesn't work like that. Yeah, and that's Mountain Standard. So meanwhile, if Johnny's listening or whatever, if he can have them contact me, send me an email or something, I'll definitely find a time to put him on the air. And that's Raleigh at Raleigh.net. But I'm really hoping that Johnny will call because he's a lot of fun. All right. So as I say, I did sign the petition and I think it's absolutely worthwhile. So good for him. That's so much on BT over the years. You know, my favorite period of time was when Andy Bickle was the PD around 1970 or so. I thought that was just tremendous. And when Bob Lacey was the nighttime talk show host, Lacey Listens, I loved that too. And of course, then later they got, was it Truck and Tom Trimble, the overnight deal? That was a few years later, 75 or so. And of course, Rock and Ray, yeah. All right, the Sunday Night Hall of Fame show. So many things on WBT. And, of course, it had that pencil-thin signal that if you were on the East Coast from Maine to Miami, you heard it at night, like a local. Of course, if you were in Gastonia, maybe not so much. Yeah, well, maybe KFAB will do something about going non-directional. We'll see. All right, so there was that. Then Engineer Bob, who sends me just the best links, and he sends them to Steve and Johnny, too, which is wonderful, is 8 items that cause your Wi-Fi to slow down. Now, you know, usually for me, I say there's one item, it's the damn walls. And that's true. But there are other things which, of course, come into play. But if you have a very persnickety wireless access point or wireless router, either way, your microwave oven, absolutely, that's involved. Think about anything that bothers AM as well. But, you know, the problem is not, you know, the 5.0, 6.0 routers. It's the 2.4, which is the ubiquitous, speed as far as that go, 2.4 gigs. Yeah, everything else and its brother works on it. So while you're heating up that cup of coffee, that might be a factor. Baby monitors, if you've got that. So be aware that can interfere. Fish tanks. Yeah. All right. Believe it or not, it's not that that you're actually actually lighting up your fish tank, but enough water, if it's a big enough fish tank, that will block a signal. The metal frames of some of them can be a barrier. Yeah, they look like building studs. So if you are having trouble and you're near a large fish tank, it might be to blame. Of course, like I mentioned, my big thing, floors, walls, you know, the article talks about older homes in particular that have thick brick walls. But not only that, there's a lot of construction now in like high-end condos where they're doing a lot of isolation between the units, which is great. You just don't hear any noise if you got 10 inches of poured concrete and then a foot of isolation. Yeah, well, you also, if that's between rooms in your dwelling, that's not going to be too good either. Likewise, very large furniture. I'm not really talking about your couch, although if it's heavy and wooden and one of those things, but those beautiful bookcases, you know, the end tables aren't going to be a problem, let's face it. But if you've got bookcases wall to wall, that's even more that it's going to go through. And of course, now you've got smart TVs, and there's a ton of EMI, electronic interference, electromagnetic interference, if you will. And that's not dramatic. Most of this is not dramatic, but all added together. And of course, yeah, I say 2.4 gig. How about those cordless phones? Now, of course, if you got a new one, it's probably a decked or something like that. So you don't have the same issue. But with the old 2.4, that'll wreak havoc. And then how smart are your appliances? Because more and more, especially things like HVAC thermostats and stuff like that, they sell it about how you can hook it up to the internet and then you can change the temperature at will while you're thousands of miles away or whatever. There's a lot of household appliances that are impacting Wi-Fi. And there are a number of things. Of course, the appliances themselves, the metal parts, the electric motors, all of that can be interference, old-time interference, but also, depending on how smart it is, that may be a factor as well. So taken all together, you do have a little control over it, and, you know, get your own wireless access point, put it on the ceiling, or, yeah, get a good one, and you'll be happier. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. As we closed the show last night, Kimberly called because Ruth was not doing, I'm sorry, Ruth is who we're going to be talking to next. Jeannie was not doing too well. And hopefully she's feeling better today. But because she was a little under the weather, she wanted to hear Make the World Go Away. And we had several versions of it. But I thought, you know, I'm going to share the one that I play. Yes, when I want to make the world go away, I think of Billy Mischel. And you're saying who? Well, you'll hear Today Has Been Canceled next on WGN Radio.
Due to the cloudy condition of my mind, and the tears fall like rain from my eyes, due to the fact that we are apart, and the sad indisposition of my poor heart. Today's been cancelled, today's wiped out. Today's a day I'm certainly better do without. Today's been cancelled, though in the deep blue sea, why would I scratch it out, get it away from me? Based on the tragic destruction of my dreams, by your cold hard words of last night, I can't foresee no feeling but pain for at least 24 hours, and in that vein, today's been cancelled, today's wiped out. Today's a day I'm certainly better do without. Today's been cancelled, though in the deep blue sea, why did I scratch it out, get it away from me? I offer my apologies to the sun, but I don't want to see another day begun without the view of old to see me through. Tomorrow and the next day may just be cancelled.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So no one in the States played it, but Helen Shapiro, who was a big deal in the UK, recorded it and had a hit with it. And Billy Mischel actually was an interesting guy. He was part of the Brill Building, and nobody actually knew who he was. He worked for Leeds. And, you know, he recorded a couple things as well under various names, including Flip Cartridge. All right. But after that, he wound up big time working for Famous Music in publishing, and then was Creative Affairs and so it was a big career, and nobody's ever heard of him. But he put it out on an album. Today Has Been Canceled, and he didn't claim he was Billy Mischel. It was A. Wilbur Mischel. So now that's fine if you're really, really depressed and, you know, Today Has Been Canceled. But if you're taking the big leap, maybe we'll play the place where failure goes after the news. And hopefully Gene is feeling a lot better. But this is very exciting to me. We will get to Ruth. But I was telling you earlier about the email I got from Johnny, and I have signed the petition, and I had said in my return email, well, call me. And how about that? He did. So Johnny Caudill, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, better now that you've called. This is just a delight. So I am thrilled you are wanting to preserve the site and hoping that it's going to get some traction. I signed, and I will get a link up to Raleigh.net. So what do you think the chances are?
Well, as far as the other parties involved, we have heard nothing from them. That's disappointing. We're not trying to stop the sale. We're not trying to tell people what they can do with their property. But I just want to have everyone come to the table and have a discussion. You know, what can we save? What can we do? And we've heard nothing from the broker, from Urban One, or from whoever has the property under contract. So that's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that. You know, in fact, when I hated to be right about this, but in January I said, "Hey, this is about selling that transmitter land." And in your note to me, you mentioned that the program director told you in February that it wasn't going to be sold. And man, I bet you they told him that too, and he believed it. So hard to understand why. But in any event, when you noticed, I'm sure you did, the way when they finally had somebody under contract, they talked about how it would be for, quote unquote, housing, the magic word. And I assume that they'll probably pull some card about this is for the community good. But that said, it's not unknown for states, counties, cities to step in and at least declare the transmitter building to be historically preserved. I think the real question is, how far does that building date back? You've taken pictures, and how much have they modified it?
It goes back to the late 90s, early 30s, when the tower's transmitter site was moved there. For the directional signal. But there is a Cold War bunker in the basement of that building. And from what I understand, it is a time capsule.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's absolutely, I think you've got something there. Sadly, I shed a tear when you talk about moving to that site, because I can't believe the Buick dealer sold off half the signal. And, of course, that led to all the problems we have today. But we've been kind of speculating whether KFAB, I doubt it because it is iHeart, but whether they would file to be non-directional now that they won't have anything on the other side of the country.
That's a very much of possibility. I've heard that a religious broadcaster may be looking at 1110. I haven't been able to confirm that. And the part about housing, I actually got that from you. I haven't been able to get anyone to talk to me to tell me about what it's going to be used for.
Yeah, no, and one of the releases, that was the magic word that I underlined. And as I was saying to you, I also wish somebody would step in and preserve the history of 400 Radio Road.
Yes, that is a legendary site, the site of Big Ways back in the day, big top 40 station here in the Charlotte area. I would love to be able to save that. I feel like I've got my hands full with 1110.
Yeah.
But at least get a plaque. And I've already mentioned that to the Historic Landmarks Department, that we need to do something for that site as well. And if it's nothing but a plaque, we can, of course, get a plaque, he said. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was so good. Everybody remembers the Kaplan years. But before that, the Toms years arguably were even more colorful. So there was a lot of history there.
Right. I'm in my 40s, so it's kind of before my time.
Yes.
But I've heard all the stories about it, so.
Yeah. Well, if you can manage to get the building to be a museum, I want a beach music room.
Well, I've got John Hancock, longtime WBC announcer, on board. So hopefully we'll get some traction with it.
I would think you could probably get Bob Lacey, because when he did Lacey Listens at Night on BT, it was just splendid.
I will try that. I hadn't thought about him, but I will definitely reach out and see what I can do there.
Oh, yeah, that. And he's pretty much a hermit now, but Andy Bickle still is alive and in Charlotte. So you might do a little research and, you know, because he was my favorite PD when BT was in its real glory years. So I'm just thrilled you're doing this. I think it's truly wonderful. And if nothing else, it's going to highlight the history of something that should not be forgotten. But let me ask you, how many people so far have signed?
I am approaching 100. I think yours was the last one, but so far. But I just launched it last night, and we were already up to near 100. So I'm pleased about that.
Excellent. Well, during this news break, I'm going to get the link up on Raleigh.net, and hopefully everybody will go there and check it out. It's a worthy project. Thanks for your love of radio and for the weather information.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Call me again sometime. I'd love to hear from you.
All right. I'll keep you updated.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. All right. So how
thank
neat.
You.
Johnny Cottle made my night, so not meaning to give Ruth short shrift, but we'll get to her right after the news. And John in Covington going to talk about, Sirius XM, why not? Whatever you want, we'll talk about it. And, I'll play something truly suicidal next, but one of my favorite songs nonetheless, coming up on WGN Radio. Thank you.
they laid me in the ground, I flew on the wing. Somewhere outside the pearly gates, I heard someone sing. It was a girl I'd seen before, though we'd never met. I asked her name, she said, "It's yours. How could you forget?" I was a girl who appeared in a song that you wrote when you turned 17. I was a failure when I was a single. I died, but you still love me. And this is the place where failure goes if your dreams won't die. This is where all your hopes survive if they're not alive. Where all the might have been, triumph and forgive. This is where all the star-crossed loves have the chance to live. I turned around and I saw every dreamer who gambled it all on the line. Every belief that was ended in grief now was blazing alongside mine.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, it's not uplifting, but I think it's just one of the greatest. All right, and we'll have fun for the rest of the night. Promise not to play anything else that's depressing. Well, hell, there's so much that's depressing, but not intentionally depressing. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and I promised Ruth we'd talk to Ruth, so we will. So, Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good evening. And, oh, the patriotic feeling. Don't you know who might suddenly appear? I'll tell you next year. However, I have a wish. On a birthday cake, 250 candles, 200 candles were done 50 years ago. So we've got 50 more wishes for now. And one of my wishes is for American flag lit by fireworks in the Strait of Hormuz, and if every city in the United States could do it, at least 50 with that American flag with fireworks, then I would have the biggest wish on the 250th celebration. I also have a request for a song.
Okay.
If you can find Jackie Gleason, because his favorite, yeah, I know it's not in your usual archives, but he was a wonderful musician, and he did do some composing, and his statement always was how sweet it is, and that refers to the United States, and I wonder if he did anything patriotic. Now, one other quick thing, because you don't know the half of it. I have been up to so many patriotic things. I'm surprising myself. I had gotten through last year's Flags of Glory, participating in it. Someone from the Knights of Columbus Lake Villa was putting up flags in any location you wanted them for holidays. So this year I didn't hear if they were doing anything, so I started to get my own flags with personalized messages on them. And the messages have been just absolutely wonderful. Crown thy good with brotherhood and all different kinds of things on these flags.
All right.
And that's one of my many ideas for celebrations.
Okay, well,
and then I have...
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have gotten a clock that plays the Star Spangled Banner, and I put it in the grandmother's clock. I just saw so many things I've been working on.
All right.
And I haven't heard a lot from, until just recently, with other radio stations, what things are going on, you know, bits and pieces of this and that here and there. And I've really enjoyed hearing anyone who was doing participation. But really quick now, because I have so many other ideas to mention to you at another time.
Yes.
Especially a wedding that was held on Flag Day and how I got to participate in that. But here, the $2 commemorative bill that has the authors of the Constitution on the back of it, this is a commemorative $2 bill. And I've been looking at it quite often, and I realized that there was something distinct about every one of the authors of Liberty, where they were placed in the portrait, in the picture, how they were standing, and what their connections were in that, what they were passing down to posterity.
All true, so but we're not going to go over each one of them, but all true. All right,
but so, we'll do this. We'll do this one.
No, we're
done
doing anything.
I can see.
Okay, very good.
Now, on each face.
All right, so Jackie Gleason. I don't know about How Sweet It Is by Jackie Gleason, but of course Holland Dozier Holland wrote a song with that title for Marvin Gaye, and maybe we'll play that. And Ruth, you're not alone in your thoughts for the Strait of Hormuz. You've already got flagged merchant ships sailing as escorts, and they will continue to do so. And yeah, bet you the flags will be noticeable this weekend. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593. We've been training Ruth in brevity. We'll get there eventually, I know. All right, John in Covington, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I was just wondering, have you heard anything about SiriusXM trying to buy or iHeartMedia?
Well, or vice versa. You know, it's been a long time that these are venture capitalists controlled in all directions. And when John Malone started his kind of retirement plans, Berkshire Hathaway has the most of SiriusXM right now. And, of course, iHeart, don't even need to say it. The thing that really made me want to vomit was when I heard Irving Azoff is involved in spearheading the deal. I don't have anything good to say about her. Nothing good to say about Irving Azoff. But anyway, this talk has been going on for a few years, actually, and how serious it is right now, no pun intended, I would not want to venture. Certainly, both are in play, but with the kind of debt service that's involved, it's hard to say how that shakes out.
Well, the way I kind of see it is, I don't trust, I mean, I'm a subscriber and everything, but SiriusXM, I think they might have something up their sleeve. I don't know, but I look at it this way, okay? And I don't mean to sound arrogant or rich or anything like that, but I might just buy 100 shares and sit on it for a year. Thing is, with my medical condition, and it's no big deal, it's like you have to put that stock, you have to be specific. It has to be John and Teresa, or no, it's John or Teresa.
Yeah, sure, how you vest it.
You can't make it right. John and.
Right, how you vest it, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of complications, but John or Teresa, then it's...
Yeah, the stocks of either, you know, certainly could be an interesting gamble, and you like gambling, so that's perfectly fine. But at this point, any discussions, they call them early stage, and, you know, I call them latent because it's been around for a few years now, the talk, and they haven't agreed on any terms of any deal. And so there's talk, but whether it will happen or not remains to be seen. But ultimately, it's fluid, because when you have the kind of debt service iHeart has, nobody wants to take you over, and that's part of the reason why you're still alive. But at the same time, you better think of plan B. So we'll see.
Well, I know the talks, there was talks, and they ended, shut down in early May. They shut down.
Understood. But believe me, this has been floated for a few years now.
Oh, I don't doubt that a bit. I don't doubt that a bit.
So right now the talks are off. Talks could be back on. I don't know. But the idea that Irving Azoff is going to save the day, let me vomit now.
I might just pull the trigger for 100 shares.
Sure, why not?
See what it does for a year.
You know, why not?
The other thing I wanted to mention is, because it is 250 years, Have you ever seen, or the listeners ever seen, Rick Monday saved the American flag when two nitwits got on the field and tried to burn the American flag. It's very inspirational.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was like 50 years ago. And,
right, it was.
But the flag still exists, and I think it's going to be in Cooperstown. You know, when you mentioned Rick Monday, that's one of the names that kind of goes through my mind. He must have been with the Padres on some level, because I know I briefly worked with him, but I don't remember anything else. But it had to be a Padres connection.
Would this happen, I think, with the Dodgers?
Oh, yeah, it was the Dodgers. But, I mean,
yeah. I see.
Elsewhere in his career, when you brought up that name, I thought, man, that's a name out of my past. I haven't thought about him in years.
He's the radio play-by-play, or I shouldn't say play-by-play. He's the
color.
So-called
color
expert analyst on on their radio station when they broadcast the radio games. Anyway, Rick Monday was an excellent ball player.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Hall of Fame stats, but he was an excellent baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got, and I appreciate your thoughts about the subject.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Raleigh.
Yeah, I know that he went to high school in Santa Monica, but I swear I thought it was San Diego where our paths crossed, but maybe not. Anyway, I vaguely remember, and I seem to remember he's a nice guy. I don't have any bad stories about him whatsoever. It could, I don't think it was the Dodgers, but it could have been. All right, well, anyway, famous story all the way around. So, but I swear, he and Jerry Coleman, that had to be the Padres. All right, so I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Cindy is in Chicago. What's happening, Cindy?
Yeah, I didn't have much today. I did go out to Jewel and get a watermelon. There is a big, you know, like in the Chicago area, there's not much sales around the holidays because they stick it to you around. But Jewel has a big sale, but just so everyone knows, you know, like the watermelon, I clipped the coupon, you know, like I went on the website, the app to clip the coupon, and the watermelon, you know, someone had told me it was $2.99, and I went on the website and it was $7.99, and you don't get the state, you don't see the sale price until you clip the coupon, and then, if anyone wants to see the sale, they would probably have to see the online the actual sale paper to see what the, you know, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they did that, but I don't know. It's just real screwy. I mean, if they want business, you know, I don't know. So then, anyhow. And the thing about it is I think it really is the barometric pressure that I, you know, because I got a sick migraine again.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah, and then I'm real dizzy. I have to walk with a cane, and that goes away in about a day or two.
Well, be careful. The last thing you want to do is fall.
Yeah. And yeah, the cane, you know, and then, yeah.
All right.
If I fall on the rug, it's not so bad, you know.
Okay. Well, it depends how you fall. Yeah.
But then my father, you know, when I was a young pre-adolescent, when I would get migraines, my father was such a nice man. He would make me a cup of black tea. When when it was time to go to sleep and my migraine was almost over, before they had medications, and he would, you know, and I would take one sip of it and just pass out and go to sleep.
All right.
But then, anyhow, and Target is going to spend $1 billion remodeling their stores. That's a lot of money. And they're not going to be like a total product store for everything anymore. That's what I Googled. And I don't know. I guess, you know, I couldn't understand it, but it's for they're selling like for busy families that need convenience. And you're not going to believe this, but like one nectarine is $1.19. And I don't know who could be that busy to spend that much. Because I got, you know, the other day, was it yesterday, I got a whole bag for like 17 or 18 nectarines for $4 at Rich's.
All right.
I don't know who could be. I mean, my mother raised me. I guess she must have taught me something. And I no matter how busy I was, I'd have to, you know, just find the time to get a sale.
I'm always mystified when you call, Cindy. Always absolutely mystified. But yes, Target is doing some restructuring both internally and at the stores. And of course, remember, they own 95% of their stores. So when they're doing a remodel, it's actually their property. They probably own about 85% of the land under it. So that's kind of nice. Anyway, good to talk to you. Good luck on your sales. And we'll talk to you soon. I hope you feel better. Okay, so 888-876-5593. Oh, man, we got a lot of things to talk about. Rita says the heat is getting to me. It's funny, I just, for one of my radio stations, wrote a commercial about the heat, obviously for an HVAC company. We got Floyd in Iowa. Stuff. Oh, good. And let's see, Dave in LaGrange and Fran in Austin. Karen in Chicago. And as I release Cindy's line, that means there's one line available for you right now on WGN Radio.
Oh, hello, little things you say and do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was Cindy's request from a couple days ago. It was, Buddy Holly on Coral, 1958. And Norman Petty co-wrote it, along with Sonny West, who, by the way, recorded it first before Buddy Holly. But a lot of people think, well, that must be a Clovis record, and it's not. It was actually done in January of 58 at Bell Sound in New York. And so that was the deal. All right, and I hope Cindy liked it. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. So Rita in Harwood Heights, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, people are probably tired of hearing about the weather, but I don't have air conditioning.
Oh, no. Why do you not have air conditioning?
Well, I've got it ordered from ABT, but because of the clutter in here, and I can't get help to help me to lift because I can't lift anymore. And then I had this, I went out, I was in a lot of pain, and I went out to go to Portillo's for a hot dog on May 22nd, and I'm at that corner of Okito and Lawrence, and some lady came barreling out of the strip mall.
Oh, no.
She said she didn't see me.
Oh, no.
And she rammed right into me.
Oh, no.
I've already got this injured shoulder from being there at Resurrection. And it's re-injured now, so I'm in double pain, and
this is
real misery.
Right, you are in misery, and this is dangerous. And very often, depending on how the building is constructed, the heat can be even more excessive inside, especially at night, than it is outside. So this is nothing to fool around with.
I've got towels and I got washcloths, and I have the ceiling fans.
Good.
Well, which helps, yeah.
But
and
no.
Then I had an electrician come in today.
Okay.
Arnold Electric came. And I have a probably a 50-year-old air conditioner in the big storeroom. Okay. And he got that to work.
Good.
And turned on.
All right, so you've got something. Now, are you in a single-family house or are you in an apartment?
No, no, it's a single-family house.
All right,
it's
so...
It's 100 years old, though.
Right, but, well, the, yes, I understand that, but in a way that's good, because 100 years ago, believe me, the wiring's been changed since then, and you probably have 100-amp service, which for what you're doing is probably enough. I would certainly do what I could to look at good air conditioning, because this is going to matter to your health and basically, you know, your entire living situation. So I'd make this a priority.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is right now.
Yeah, and
but,
figure out...
damage to my car is another problem, because I need my car to get around. I have no family.
Well, the person who hit you, are they insured?
Yes, we're both insured by Allstate, so I'm using their insurance.
Right, you are, and it'll be on them, and you'll get it fixed. They're not going to total it, are they? They will fix it, correct?
Well, I hope they don't have to total it.
Well,
it's an old car.
Very often they want to. It's not that they have to. They look at it and say, oh, it's cheaper. If they do that and you want to keep the car, you can actually drive it on a salvage title if you want. So that's possible.
Oh, okay.
But the first order of business, and I'm about to go to the news, so I don't mean to cut you off short, but I'm going to. But the first thing is I want to hear that you're looking into how to fix the air conditioning problem so you will not be hot. This is important.
Yeah.
All right, Rita,
yes,
call me again.
Yes,
call me
I
next
am.
Week and tell me. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that is tough. Yeah, it's descending into Hades. And if you're older and you're not well, man, the heat is just not something to fool around with. We'll pick it up there next hour right here on WGN Radio.
I walk down past the courthouse square. 3 blocks or maybe 4, running to my old friend there that runs a handy hardware store. I said, morning, Lon, what's a good word? He said, Abraham Lincoln, Lone Ranger, Mickey Mouse, and I'm sold out of flagpoles. I popped the top of a soda pop, laid a quarter on the bar. I said, inflation is a dirty dog, a payday show ain't going far. Liberty, said Lonnie, e pluribus unum, in God we trust, and I'm sold out of flagpoles. I said, hey Lonnie, did you see Evel Knievel jumping on TV? Jumped 13 buses with his machine, reckon he could jump 14. No doubt, said Lonnie, winners keep on winning, even losers win sometimes, and I'm sold out of flagpoles.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Johnny Cash, yeah, he wrote it 1976 on Columbia. And Ruth wanted patriotic songs by Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison. And Johnny Cash did a lot of them. Most of them I won't play. Roy Orbison didn't do many, and I wouldn't play any. But when I got to Sold Out of Flagpoles, I thought, close enough. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Floyd is in Iowa. What's happening tonight, Floyd?
Not too much, but Raleigh, that is close enough. You know, I had the vinyl disc of a Allman Brothers Band, Brothers and Sisters.
Uh-huh.
I put that on a dual turntable with a Pickering cartridge.
Okay.
Had the JBL speakers, Marantz receiver.
Right.
I like it loud.
Right.
It turns up, and they started out on a tune called Southbound, and the bass sounded muddy. But then I thought, maybe I had the speakers turned up too loud, the bass, and maybe it's causing the turntable or the cartridge to vibrate or whatever, wow and flutter and such. But then after he picked up the sing, the voice, which is named Greg Allman, then it cleaned up, and they started him with the piano and such and the guitar. But I thought, well, now that must have been either bad engineering when they recorded it, or else it was the equipment I had. But I got a DVD years later, played that same tune, same thing. It's got to be something they put in the recording. well, that cause it to come in like that, the muddy bass.
Well, yeah, I always say that there's a certain hell for recording engineers, overmodulated being a death sentence as far as I'm concerned. But there's a number of other things as well. So it could be that Brothers and Sisters album came out about 73. And the interesting thing, though, is when you're talking about you got a Pickering cartridge or a dual turntable, you've got these from way back in the day, right? Not recent.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, because I was going to say, brand new when?
When they came out, like 73,
okay.
76, got them right then.
Well, see, what's happened with most of these is the names have been sold. And so you'll still see like Harman Kardon, you know, or Pickering, but it won't be the same stuff. It'll just be the name. So when you can get the vintage stuff, that's great. But when you're just buying the name, forget about it. Now, on that dual turntable, is it direct drive?
No, I had that. See, I'm talking about something I had back in the 70s.
Okay.
Right now, we're almost 50 years out from when this happened.
Well, yeah,
When I got the DVD, I thought, well, it had to be something they laid down the track.
Well, it very well have been. But then again, it also can be just a bad mastering. And a case in point is a lot of the Love and Spoonful stuff on Kama Sutra sounds like it was overmodulated to hell and back and there was no hope. But there was one album that came out later and it was clean. Only one, it's vinyl. I've never found it clean on CD, or not that I want to hear the Love and Spoonful, but John did. I've never found it on CD that's clean. I've never found it on the original Kama Sutra Records as clean, but on this one it is. So somewhere existed a clean track. So sometimes it's mastering.
There it might be. Now, I tell you, there's this another outfit, too. There's these Southern rock bands. I didn't get too much for them, but there used to be beer commercials and tea and cigarette commercials. We used to run those on TV.
Of course.
And before they banned the things. They always had good tunes. And I heard one on a Busch beer. Found out later what it was called was, what the heck was the name of it? A couple bands that I heard, a band called Lexington Lab Band here just recently. Then also this outfit, this Southern rock band, Leonard Skinner.
Well,
they had
this
called They Call Me the Breeze.
Right.
I didn't know the name of that tune for years when I finally found it. That's when I started hearing it on the internet.
Uh-huh.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
And the thing, I don't give a hoot about the band. I don't give a hoot what the band, when it gives the studio recording, because I'd always thought those live performances, you can never hear anything. They're always messed up.
I don't care.
The engineering, I like the studio stuff.
Right, got to be. And it's got to be the original 45 mix, if they had one. Nothing that they mixed later, because it's a disaster. But, Lexington Lab was interesting. They were from Central Kentucky. And everybody knows Lynyrd Skynyrd. But very few people remember the Lexington Lab band. But I'd say over 100 people went through that band.
Oh, they were good. They were good. So, I'll tell you, there was a horn section when they did that tune, Call Me the Breeze.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they did the hand clapping, too.
Right. Well,
the way they put that, go ahead.
They were not a band in the way you'd think of a Lynyrd Skynyrd. They were a community project. And that's why I say there were over 100 of them. And so, depending on what you heard and when you heard it, that would be a completely different group of musicians. So,
they put it together good
because
the product was grand.
Yeah. And they.
There's another out. Yeah,
I'd say that they rehearsed, the guys would rehearse individually and then they'd go ahead and book a studio for one night and they'd all come together and track it. And that was pretty much the way it was. But it isn't like when you say you don't care for a band. Well, in this case, you wouldn't know the band because it was ever changing.
Well, they did good work.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. And then it sounds good. The product came out perfect.
Yeah. And it was on a Busch beer commercial. You're right.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I heard that tune. I couldn't place it, and then I liked it.
Okay.
And then finally found out.
Yeah.
And my sister was a piano student. When I think of a concert, I always thought, you have to wear a jacket and tie it, and you'd be in the audience. They won't let you in. I've come down later. No, these concerts, they're outside. You go like that deal my brother went to, what was that thing? Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
When he's there for that Santana performance, apparently they were out in the rain.
Oh, and it was a cluster every way to hell and back. It was, John was there, but I was smart enough.
He called that a concert. Yeah, Yeah, and I look, and I just thought you had to put a jacket and tie to go to a concert and be inside of a studio or a music or whatever. But she had this instructor that she was taking classical music. The one I liked, she performed a lot, was the Military Polonaise. Okay. I can't recall the composer, but I liked that. Okay. Polonaise, and she'd play that. And she also did another thing. She had an instructor that they got over at Czerny, C-Z-E-R-N-Y, okay. School of Velocity.
Yeah.
She'd get her finger work down. And there, she did about the closest she ever got to getting loose was something called Scratch My Bach, B-A-C-H, by Andre Previn. That was about the closest that instructor ever let her get off of that classical instruction. Now, she was good, but the teacher was good. She was paying attention in class, and it was one-on-one instruction. Of course, I guess it had to be the piano. But she would go there, I think, twice or three times a week. Mm-hmm. For at least an hour. That's oh my word, Raleigh, I couldn't do that. That's something you'd have to.
If I had to go three times a week and hear Chopin music, I couldn't do it either. No way, thank you.
Hear something like
kick out the jams. Like absolutely, not that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right,
let's get going with something. Pick up the pace.
Yeah,
none of that stuff goes moves.
I'm with you. I don't want to hear any of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do too. I like it to get out and move. The first time I heard that Southern rock, I thought, well, this is going to be slow. So it wasn't.
No.
I heard that, I guess, what's his name? Greg Allman's brother, what's his name? Dwayne. I guess he died in a motorcycle crash.
Yeah, that was bad.
They brought in some new piano player named Chuck Lavelle.
Of course.
Now, he was on that. They made a big fuss about that tune, Jessica. I never did like the guitar on that. But the piano was okay. And then he was on that Southbound cut when they did the piano on that, too. And I like that Southbound. Also, the words, the lyrics he sang on that, tells a little funny song about how she's got a man coming in as soon as he hits the road and all this and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of laughed about that. But that was the introduction I had to the Southern rock.
Good.
I like that bit. That Southbound tune was all right. Mm-hmm. And again, this, what's this guy's name? Leonard Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard them, it was a studio production. The tune was Working for MCA. That's a long song. I like that one. Because it started out, and there's some, I guess a bunch of them got killed in a plane crash.
Well, yes.
But that's not unusual, though. Yeah. I guess Ronnie Van Zant was one of them got killed. Yeah. I think he was the lead singer. And then there's, what's this other group? The Southerners. Out of South Carolina. Marshall Tucker Band.
Right.
They had a plane crash that killed their singer. It's a guy named Doug Gray.
Mm-hmm.
I guess these things are just happening to them. And maybe it's just happenstance, or maybe someone doesn't like them.
No, it's not. It's usually not that somebody doesn't like them. You usually can get to the bottom of it fairly quickly, and a lot of them. I mean, that was the same with Jim Croce.
But I like those.
But you mentioned that. Were you a Wet Willie fan?
Well, I heard them, but I didn't like them very much.
Really? I thought Street Corner Serenade was a great record.
Must have missed it. I must have missed that one.
All right, well, I'll play that for you.
And make sure you announce it so I'll know what it is.
I'll play it as the next bumper if it's on this computer. I don't know if it is, but if it is, I'll play it.
We'll catch it then. Well, Raleigh, it's always good to talk to you, partner.
Likewise.
And thank goodness. Is that John, the one that's clues me in to get on the, me in the line there?
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, by golly, always good to hear you folks on the air.
All right,
talk
good.
To you later, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, I thought Street Corner Serenade was a terrific record as far as that goes, Wet Willie. So I think we will play that as our next bumper. In fact, maybe coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
We'll be right back.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's from the Mannerism album, and that was Wet Willie on 1977 on Epic. And that actually was recorded in the UK, but the band was from Mobile, Alabama. And I'm not sure why, but first time I heard it, I said, that is a great record. Of course, that was a kiss of death then, right? But Epic released it as a single. Pete is a first-time caller. He's in Evanston. Welcome to WGN Radio, Pete.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I've never called into any radio show.
Well, thank you. I'm impressed.
Well, I had to call. I'm driving home from work, and I hear the older lady say that she doesn't have an air conditioner, and she can't put it in, and she's got nobody to help her, and I had to call in.
Oh.
And I would like to volunteer to help. I'll put it in for her.
You're so kind. You're absolutely kind. It's Rita in Harwood Heights. I'm going to get your phone number, Pete, and then what I want to make sure is that whatever Rita's planning to put in is something that actually will work and be good for her, not something that, you know, you'll do all that heavy labor and won't work. So let's make sure she's got a working model of something. And yeah, that would be just terrific. Aren't you kind? I hope you are going to call me again, but hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. So that's just a lovely offer. So, Rita, there will be absolutely no excuse now, but we want to make sure your air conditioner is up to snuff. Yeah. So, Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
That is really nice that he's going to do that. I was thinking, oh, my God, it must be terrible to be in pain anyway, and I can tell by her voice that, you know, she's in a lot of pain. And to be in pain anyway and not have your air conditioner working, that is just...
It's shocking to the point because, as you well know, when you're in a lot of pain and also when you're older and all that, this can be life and death. You don't think so. You think, oh, I'm a wimp. But no, people have died from heat exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. And we had... I lived... The senior complex I lived in before this one, the air conditioners were always going out, and all they would do, there was, you know, leaks in them, and they were old, but all they would do is pump some Freon in there.
Right.
And it would work for a couple of days. And one day we had a housing authority inspection, and he comes into our house and he looks, you know, and he said, it's, you know, is your air conditioner working? I said, no. And I explained, you know, they're always going out and so forth. And I had put in a service request 2 weeks before that. And they always tell me, we have 72 air conditioners ahead of us.
Yeah, whatever, right.
26 air conditioners. And every time I called, it was the same number. I said, right. Aren't you fixing any of these?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or is someone jumping ahead of me?
Yeah, and so when they came in, boy, they went over there, and that air conditioner was at least fixed for a while within an hour.
Good.
But, you know, but I was going to call last night, but I just wasn't feeling up to it. But I was going to talk a little bit about the situation that Annette is in. My understanding, as far as the guide dog situation,
that they can't
talk more about the apart,
that they cannot deny her.
Yeah, that's because I thought that when I had my guide dog in the 70s and 80s, actually more in the 70s, but there was an apartment I wanted, and they weren't going to rent to me because I had a guide dog. And I took it to a tenants union. I took it to some disabled organizations. You know, and I won. The only thing is I decided, well, the way these people are, I'm probably not going to move in here,
right?
Because they're going to try to get me out. They're going to try to hassle me about everything.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. That's where I was going to go with that. It becomes a very hollow victory, because when they're out to get you, your life becomes just unlivable on other reasons. So when you have something like that, yes, you might prevail, you'll win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. You got to get out of Dodge. And so hang on.
Yeah.
Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
All right. So we'll pick it up there, and hopefully Annette is doing well. There's one line available if you want it. We got Karen, we got Eduardo, Dave, Mike, and we'll continue with Fran right here on WGN Radio. Well, how did that happen? That break went faster than I can even imagine. All right, so WGN Radio, we'll have another bumper coming up. We got to, I don't know when. So yeah, I was in the kitchen trying to make something to eat. Wasn't working out very well. So all right, back to Fran. So I know we were talking, yes, people getting back at you when you win the battle but lose the war. And what Annette needs to do is find other options, because very often you think, well, I don't have another option. I have to do this. And that's almost never the case.
Well, I used to live in a place like that in California. And I mean, they had rules that were just draconian. You were not supposed to... Like we couldn't use water after 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, great!
And I said, "Well, what if I need to flush the toilet?" And they said, "Well, you just, you know, if you just urinate, you know."
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm just not doing that. And they had, I mean, all kinds of stupid rules. What I would do, because they would send me stuff that I couldn't read, and I would call them up and. Can you tell me what that notification was that you put on my door? You know, I'm blind. I can't read it. And anytime they did that, I would
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
And one apartment complex we lived in, Gary and I were constantly getting those, and I would call, and then he would call.
Yeah.
And one time they came to. They were doing this remodel.
Oh, God.
And they didn't notify us, and they came and they were going to tear apart my bathroom.
Oh, nice.
And I had somewhere I had to go that day, and I said, I didn't get notified. I'm sorry, you know, it's not your fault, but I didn't get notified. I'm not letting you in.
Good.
You can't do this today.
Right. Excellent.
And I called the management and I told them, the only thing is, like, if she can get a hold of tenant advocacy organizations, they might be able to help her with some of that, because they have to provide information in an accessible manner.
Right.
We're having that fight here. They're supposed to send us emails and they never do. So we just make pains of ourselves and,
right.
you know.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, they wanted us to do something online that we couldn't do. And I said, well, I'm going to need help doing this. And, boy, I made sure I typed really slowly.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the first thing is to say, I'm sorry, I don't have a computer. I don't have a phone.
Yeah, well, that's what I know. Well, they know I have a phone because they've seen me on it, but. You know, I said, I don't know how to do the internet.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't know how to do that particular, you know, the Social Security site is just ridiculous.
Well, yeah. And,
but,
you know, they've had so much fraud that they come up with these ways that they think they'll prevent it. Of course, it only makes it worse. But the only thing the Social Security site is difficult for is those of us who are legitimately on it wanting to use it. And, you know, the times
right.
of day
yeah.
and what you have to do and the emails you get. No, it's just, it's almost laughable.
Yeah. I mean, they wanted me to put in this code and I didn't have any idea
right.
what the code was.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, just all this stuff. So, you know, they were having a fit about something because it was this right amount of money, but the letter wasn't dated
right.
when they wanted it dated. And so, you know, I thought, this is ridiculous. It's the right amount of money. You know, it's the,
yeah.
But anyway, and I know sometimes you can't move. Like when I lived in that place in Monterey, I couldn't move because I couldn't find anything else that, I could afford that wasn't like in the slums or something. You know, I mean, it was just.
No, there's trade-offs, but the reality is that place in Monterey you were living, as bad as it was, if it got a lot more draconian, the slums would suddenly be a little better. You know, it's trade-offs. You have to kind of say,
yeah.
you know, like I always say, you're living in the mall of life. You can buy anything you want, but you have to be willing to pay the price. You can't shoplift and nothing goes on sale. And, you know, sometimes
yeah.
the price of the nice place is putting up with Hitlerian tactics. And for some people,
yeah.
that's worth it. For other people, hey, I'll worry about my life, but they're going to leave me alone. You know, so everybody kind of has to
yeah.
know what floats their boat.
They changed they changed over time, and oh boy, it got to be slummy. I had a crack dealer living upstairs and a woman downstairs who took a hate for me for some reason and complained every time. I had a squeaky floor, and there was nothing I could do about that. And she would bang on the ceiling every time I would walk on that part of the floor. So, and she was trying to get me evicted, and I heard her outside saying some things about me, and I went to the railing and I said, "Do you want to repeat that?" Oh, God, I was glad to get out of there.
Well, exactly. And that's the point. You get to a point where it's just not worth it anymore. The price to pay becomes too steep to be there. And so you go.
Yeah.
And but the big thing is to understand there are always options, not necessarily good options, but options. And you kind of have to weigh, you know, which you weigh which kind of cancer you'll accept. And no one else can make that
decision. I was concerned because, I lived alone and, you know.
Well, and no one else can make the decision.
Being blind does,
Of course it does.
Being blind does make me a little more vulnerable.
Of course it does.
You know, to things.
And, location becomes.
The funny thing is that neighborhood turned just as bad. So.
Yeah. Well,
by that time I had, you know, moved here. So
sadly, whenever you're dealing with limited income housing, depending on how they are policing it, it can just become a cesspool. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality. I'm glad you got out of there as far as that goes. But yes, Annette does have options. She might not like them, but she's got options. And I hope that she'll, because the worst thing in the world is to stay inert in a situation where you're just chronically uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I've done that. And, she sounds like, she's really depressed. And sometimes when you get really depressed, it's hard to move forward.
Of course it is. Oh, are you kidding? If the depression's severe enough, you don't even get out of the bed to defecate. No, I mean, depression will get to that point. So I understand that. But long before you get to that point, understand you have options. I can't tell you how many people I run into, and I was mentioning it just sickened me that I couldn't get Carol, my best buddy Carol Ford, out of where she was living because she felt she didn't have a choice, one of those kind of things. And it's like, you have it, and she had money. But nonetheless, there were a lot of reasons why she felt she didn't have a choice. And it's like, no, you always have a choice. Always. So,
I know sometimes the choices are limited, the less money you have.
Well, absolutely, that's true. What happens, actually, they're limited, yes, but on the other hand, no, you've got a lot of choices, but they're just not good ones. And so you kind of have to, again, pick your poison. Which one is more tolerable to you? You know, for me, somebody trying to tell me that I couldn't flush my toilet or what was I doing? No. I'll live under a bridge before that'll happen. But for someone for someone else, they don't like bridge living. So I get that.
No. Yeah. I don't think I could have dealt with that. But, you know, it worked out because they changed management, and then it got to be kind of a lot of crime, and they got a lot of different people in there from drug rehab programs and stuff that were just insane.
Right.
But so here I am in Austin. But this place it's got its problems, but we can usually deal with them. And I'm kind of, I can be passive aggressive myself if I need to.
Right. Depending on what you want to do, there's all sorts of things. I shouldn't publicly admit this, but I was living in one place where I had someone over me. I was very young. I had someone over me who would just always beat on the floor every time I'd be listening to the radio. Didn't even matter. Wasn't that loud, but they just beat on the floor.
Yep.
Well, what I discovered was that the electric meters were actually outside all these apartments. And so at 2 a.m, I'd go off and turn off his power for like 20 minutes so it would screw up his alarm. And, you know, I would do this arbitrarily on given nights, never in a pattern. And this guy went absolutely crazy. And, you know, hey, I have nothing to do with this. You know, I thought, why on earth would they leave the power meters out here where I can access everything? Yeah, but they did. So you can, yeah, I know it's terrible. But you can always find things to do. But ultimately, it's better to find a place where you've got good living conditions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even though I could do, you know, I didn't want to, it's like with that apartment that I finally won and could have moved into.
Right.
But then I thought they're gonna holler at me.
Yes.
Every time they hear a sound.
Yes.
From my apartment.
Yes,
or,
they will. They will
know,
manufacture
whatever.
Ways to bother you. There will be rules they've never had before that would come down on you. Yeah, no, that's not good at all. But
I remember one time this place in Monterey. I came home and I had a voicemail that there were complaints about my stereo being too loud. So I called and I said, what time did you get those complaints? And she told me, and I said, I was not home.
Good for you.
Which was true. I wasn't.
Yeah,
I, you know.
Right. So. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And she kind of had to backpedal on that one.
I had one landlord who, and this was upscale. This is Bel Air, California, but the old couple who owned the building and clearly didn't want to have to pay much on electricity. So at midnight, they'd turn off all the outer lights, including the lights by the pool. Well,
oh no!
yes, twice. I was in the drink before I, before I started to get creative, and they had shared hot water for all the units. Well, not always. There were sometimes they had nothing. So, but, yeah, right. But after I fell in the pool, I was, damn, because it was just, and there was a lot of theft there too, because anybody could come in, and wander around each door with nobody seeing them.
Sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Sure.
So,
that's
so yeah.
Dangerous.
It was dangerous. So ultimately, while I had some fun with the hot water for a while, ultimately I thought, I'm moving. I'm just getting out of here. You know, I'm getting somewhere where I don't fall in the pool at night. And I did.
Right.
So
yeah.
But again, it's all a choice. So.
Yeah.
I hope we're going to get.
I live in Austin. Yeah. I live in Austin because I can get the services I need. I'd rather live somewhere else, but I can get the services I need here.
And that makes all the world of difference. Sure. So, I mean, it's all about what's important to you. And you got Gary there. So, there's
of course.
There's benefits.
Yeah, we thought about moving somewhere else in Texas, but we wouldn't have the same.
No.
For one thing, we have really good paratransit here.
Yes.
That is one thing we have.
Yeah, Capital Metro. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely. So you kind of put up with the nonsense you don't like, and you keep in mind why you do like it. And that way you keep your sanity.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
All right. Well, yes, I hope Annette's listening.
Okay,
and I hope she's
thinking. Yeah, I hope she can find some way to get out of that. But
yes.
She might want to talk to some tenants' organizations and see if they can help her.
Yeah.
Especially about the guide dog issue.
Oh, that absolutely. Yeah. Because that's unconscionable. Now, the other thing, though, is we don't know what Annette's disabilities are. And as you know, there is a huge difference between guide dogs and support animals. And so you really need to qualify for these animals. It's unconscionable what some people do in the name of, it's a companion animal, it's a support animal.
Get me started on those.
I know.
They're not trained.
No.
And so it makes it harder for people with guide dogs. And I remember Annette calling before and they said they would let her have a dog if it was under 12 pounds.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's not going to be a trained guide dog. Forget it.
No. But it's weird. They won't let people in with guide dogs, but they'll let people in with these
rats.
Dogs. That
that's right.
Picks.
With
rats. I know.
Yeah. With a rodent.
They're not trained. They're not, but they'll let them in, but they won't let a person have a trained guide dog.
Yeah.
I don't, that's just ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
That's just a power play.
Oh, well, that's what it all is, obviously. Somebody it comes down to there are things that, yes, if she wants a guide dog and qualifies for a guide dog, she can have a guide dog. But what it's going to cost, quote unquote, in terms of how she's going to be treated may not be worth it.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I didn't get. I'd love to get another dog, but a lot of times taxis will pass you by.
Oh, it's terrible.
Hell,
the dog.
Oh, yeah,
the dogs are usually cleaner than most of the patrons in the cab, for God's sake.
I know. Believe me.
Definitely better behaved.
Yeah, I mean, I had a friend that, you know, they said you should take it because he was taking an Uber, and they said you should take Uber Pet, and they said this is not a pet.
Correct. Correct.
And, you know, so I would love to have another dog. I miss mine so much.
Oh, yeah.
I even see her in dreams sometimes.
Oh.
I miss her so much.
I think you should. So what is holding you up?
Well, at first I thought they wouldn't give one because I don't, you know, get around that fast and that well.
No, that's all right. Sometimes. You absolutely would qualify.
But that's what I was just told, because there was a guy on the bus, and he had a dog, and I was saying, oh, man, I miss having a dog. And I said, but I'm 70 years old. They probably won't give me one. And he said, oh, no. He said, they will. They're doing that with a lot of people now. And I said, well, the other thing is I'm concerned about the dog because I don't get out that much, and I won't be able to exercise the dog as much as it might need to be. And that's another thing.
You'd be surprised. And as you know, the organizations that provide them do match up the owner with the dog. And not every dog wants to run a marathon. So I think
they'll probably put you with an older dog maybe, but you know, goes a little slower or whatever. He said, but you know, you can get one.
Yeah.
So,
I would urge you to do it. I think it would
I'm considering
I think it'd be a world of good. And the downside, and I know it is an obligation and it is an effort and there are things that you would have to do, but I think that downside would be so much worth what the dog would give you, and not only in terms of mobility, but in terms of true companionship, that it would be absolutely worth it.
Oh, you know, I mean, I think about I think about the things I used to say, you know, kidding around with my dog and stuff. And, you know, we just kind of, I don't know. I still miss her to this day. And
sure.
She was put down in the mid-70s.
Oh.
And
well, I would urge you. See, that's a situation that I think you're in control of this, and you should absolutely thoroughly investigate this. At least consider it on a serious level to know what's going on.
I know Gary's not for it, but
well, now this is one thing. Is Gary allergic to dogs?
No.
Okay. Does he hate?
He loves dogs.
He loves dogs. Okay. He doesn't hate dogs, and he's not allergic to dogs. Then what is his objection?
Oh, you know that it's going to be a lot of work, and that what about days that I can't walk because you know I have bad knees, and you know he doesn't want. And I can understand it. You know, I understand his objections, and they're not strong. If I decided to get one, he's not going to leave me or anything
that. Yeah, it sounds like he's got concerns more than objections. They can be combated because that's what you do. You talk with the agencies and lay it all out. This is what concerns me. What happens on the days I can't walk? You know, and on and on. And you'll get some real-world answers. There may be things that you're just not aware could be in play and work for you.
Yeah, I mean Gary's not being mean or anything. He likes dogs, and
no,
you know, he just has some concerns about whether I would be able to handle it.
Right, I understand
that my health situation.
Understand that completely. And, yeah, I'd love more dogs.
You know, I have some of the same concerns. You know, am I going to be able to? On my bad knee days, am I going to be able to take this poor dog out? And am I going to be able to give it enough exercise? Because what I want is a lab. I love my lab.
Okay.
And,
well,
you know, I mean, I would definitely love another one. But, you know, I want a lab. And they need a lot of exercise. And I don't have a yard.
Are there volunteer dog walking services?
I don't know.
See, I would love to do that if I could. I'd love to be a volunteer dog walker, especially for service dogs, you know, because they're so well trained. So you never know. There may be options of which you're just not aware. So it sounds like you're dismissing it out of hand based upon the information you have, but it might not be all the information that's out there.
Yeah, I even thought about, you know, because I want a dog, I even thought about, well, I'll get a pet, but
That's very hard. No, let me tell you,
that's not going to work.
No, that would be very hard.
Yeah, it's not going to work because the guide dog knows where it needs to go out.
Well, not only that, there's so many other things too. No, the pet thing would be a whole other world. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I say that some people would be great, but based upon what your concerns are, no, a pet will not fulfill your need. But a well-trained guide dog may be perfect. So at least do yourself a favor and check it all out.
Yeah. And actually, if I had a dog, it might encourage me to go out.
It would.
More.
It absolutely would. So, and it would give you confidence in going out, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll check into it some more.
All right.
But, you know. All right.
All right, good deal. Well, keep me posted. Thanks.
Good luck to Annette.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, appreciate the call. All right, so if you're trying to dial in and getting nothing, that's because all the lines are full. And let me release Fran's line to at least give you a line. And we'll go to the news in a minute or so. But let's see what we can get in here in the next 30 seconds. We can start with Eduardo in Tampa. So what's the headlines, Eduardo?
Yeah, maybe after the news, I'll get into the Sacramento and 4 days a week in the office.
Ah, yes.
Adding that to, but let me request two songs before you go to the news.
Yes, what are they?
The Stylistics, People Go Around the World.
Okay.
And Al Jarreau, Morning.
All right. Good deal. Well, hang on. Don't go away. Stay where you definitely are, and we'll pick it up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, the Stylistics, Avco, 1972. Tom Bell and Linda Creed wrote it. People make the world go round. And that was Eduardo's request, and Eduardo is joining us on WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, but thank you for playing that request.
Sure.
Yeah. So regarding the Sacramento State workers, so now they're going to be going into the office 4 days a week, and something similar happened with me. With my department is now they're going to be mandating Saturdays. So, and I'm going into Saturday, and you know, holidays are time and a half. So, I mean, who want to take advantage of that? So,
all right. The California thing is working on many levels. And anybody who says that this is a black and white issue isn't looking at it. And, of course, the workers are hell-bent to stay home. I understand that. And Newsom has done his executive order. Of course, he can't run again. He's a little lame duck governor. So he's done his executive order. And there are already people saying, I wouldn't vote for him for president. Well, regardless of the politics. Here's the thing. On the one hand, your first reaction to this is, well, they're being paid. If they should be working in the facility, let them work in the facility. I get that.
Right.
Well, here's the other side of it. In many of these state facilities, they don't even have room for the workers. They've got workers who are working in the conference room. They've got workers who are on like a makeshift table between workstations and all that kind of thing. The funniest thing to watch is they'll have workers who have been for the last several years working on their computer who will still be working on their computer communicating with someone who's four cubicles away. So, you know, logistically, it's not as seamless as you might think. Now, you know, then the question is, well, why? Why is this an issue? And I think that's what it really gets down to. And I have no problem with people working at home if their jobs allow it. For instance, what you do, carrying patients from one place to another, you can't do that from home. You've got to be there.
Right. Period. You know, it's, person, yeah.
Right. It's not an option to do that at a distance. You know, right. We don't have, you know, Star Trek yet. So, you know, you'll go there. Well, for other people who are literally just doing data entry or customer service calls, theoretically, that can be done as well at home. The first thing that has to happen, as far as I'm concerned, and workers hate this, but I think it should be mandatory, is every one of these workers from home in that type of an occupation has to have a keystroke logger. So a boss at any time can take a look, what is this person doing? Because I think that's the biggest fear. Well, they'll work from home, and who knows if they're really working. And so, you know, if the worker knows there's a keystroke logger, they're watching over my shoulder of absolutely everything I do, that, you know, I understand why people would find that repulsive. But on the other hand, it makes a lot of sense in the workplace. For the customer, it's a problem, and we all know that. A lot of customer service now, if not the majority of customer service, is done that way, people working from home. I was talking to somebody yesterday about a coding problem. I had a tech problem, and in the middle of the conversation, I said, is that a rooster? And he kind of stopped. Well, yes. And I thought so. You know, and that's fine. But as long as, you know, as long as they're actually doing the job, where it becomes a problem for the customer is the customer can no longer call in many cases. They have to wait for a quote unquote, a call back. You know, and I see this sometimes tech support for products, for instance. You know, you got a piece of equipment, you want to call in, you will not be able to talk to somebody. Well, leave a message and someone will call you back because they're not physically there.
Yeah.
And, you know, for many of us, we bristle at that thought. You know, we want to control, can we call in? And, you know, the better schemes, in fact, the one I had with the rooster, actually was not painful to get there because the first thing that happened when I called, I did not get AI prompts and all that. I got a recording said, you will be connected to the next agent. And within about 2 minutes, I was live. And so that was kind of painless. But a lot of them, you know, press one for this and press nine to squawk like a chicken is just ridiculous. So there's so many levels of this. You know, when I first heard 4 days a week, I thought to myself, well, that's all they should work. Make them work 10 hours. That's 40 hours a week. You know,
right.
And I of course, in the medical field, you see it in some places, 12 hours where, you know, people are doing the 3 days.
I'm doing the 12 hours. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
And it makes sense. So in 3 days, you pretty much have your week sewn up. You know, you've done your hours.
Yeah.
And I think that's a brilliant move as far as that goes. So I don't want to say we should be back to 9-to-5ers. There's no reason. But every aspect of this should be considered. And when I see people, pictures of people in Los Angeles literally working in the hallway, it's like, you better think of plan B soon here.
Yeah, and I forget what they're called, but I see these, I see them here in Tampa too, but I see them in Chicago too, where they go to these office buildings and they just like bring out their laptops there and they're just working from there. What do they call those?
Oh, I know exactly. You mean they're almost like like rented office space, like they get your mail for you and all that. Well, for entrepreneurs, that's good. Usually those people are not workers. They own small businesses, and they don't want to, you know, have people come to their home. So they do a deal where all their mail is gotten there, and then for an extra charge, they can reserve the conference room for a day or whatever, an office for a day. And that as a front makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they seem to be everywhere now. So,
well, sure. Well, and it does make sense. Just like there's more and more private mailboxes, you know, services, the UPS stores and things of that nature. Many of them are just private. And I think that really works for that. Now, it's bad if somebody is misled and thinks it's something it's not, but I don't think there's too many people who meet somebody in one of those facilities who doesn't understand what it is. You know, it's in a way, it's a form of co-working space, but not always.
Yeah, and just like how I told you, you know, how I go to networking events, I think it's another way, too, to interact with people, make friends and all that. You might even find your wife.
Well,
or husband.
And, you know, for some people, workers complained vociferously that they did not want to work at home just because they lost the social interaction. For other people, it was like, oh, praise Jesus, you know, thank God. But for many people, that's not. But the idea of the virtual office is what really we're talking about here, where you get the professional address without the rent, but, you know, you can do all these different things. I think that's great for entrepreneurs, but that's not workers. Yeah. I don't know anybody who hires workers on that basis, you know, that kind of thing. But when you're talking about major companies where they're saying return to work, I want to know the reasons, because there are also times when one-on-one collaboration is necessary for the post. You know, if you're in the creative department, you know, it's probably better if you're working on a marketing campaign that the other elements, the writer and, you know, if the director, whatever, the artist, are having a more of a shared experience. But, you know, if you're crunching numbers, you can do that anywhere as long as you're watched. Yeah. You know, I had my morning man, sadly, his wife died a couple of years ago, and it was an illness where they knew she was going to die, and there was nothing that could be done. But she possessed something that very few people possessed in the medical field. After Obamacare, she had every code memorized. This woman could fill out the billing forms in no time flat, never had to look them up, and was never wrong. Well, hell, she was in such demand that when she was sick, man, they brought the office to her. They gave her everything she needed. You know, they were just whatever to make you more comfortable. And if you can't work some days because you're sick, that's okay. You can work at night or whatever. But she turned in a product which was literally priceless to them. You know, in fact, I've heard that they couldn't replace her with three people. So
wow, she was like an encyclopedia.
She had that ability, and you know, and she was a good-natured person, but she was in the final stages of kidney failure, and there was no dialysis option. So, you know, you knew what it was going to be. Yeah, exactly. But that was a case where work from home, work anywhere you want. So it's not black and white, it's gray. You know, I love the unions, of course, thank God they are telling people if you're ordered back to work, go there, you know, because, you know, you could lose your job. But the other thing they're saying, we're not giving up the fight. After all, Newsom's not going to be governor too long, and we'll work with the next one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. So, yeah. Yeah. So you're going in on Saturdays. Well, it's time and a half. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I'm not traveling anyways. I'm not going to the Bulls, running the Bulls or the Capitol Four. So I got to. Why not go in?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, can you volunteer?
Right, well, by the way, coming down, this is Thursday, so you get some more callers in.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Have a good weekend. Happy you too. Fourth, everyone.
Okay,
be
thanks.
Safe.
You betcha.
Thank you.
All right. So next time I'll find out whether he can volunteer for a weekend. So, man, volunteering for time and a half sounds good to me. I used to have friends in Denver who worked for the airline, for United mostly, and they were everything from luggage handlers or whatever, except they never worked. What it was, they were there for the travel benefits, and they would basically sell their shifts to other people who wanted more time, and they kept their travel benefits. So that was a sweet deal. Yeah, every market kind of had its things. I remember in Philadelphia how I had worked with people who were getting a lot of money. They were doing really well. And I come to find out, because they were doing all these drug trials. And I would say, you know, if they're paying you more, there's probably more of a risk. Oh, I'm young and healthy. It doesn't matter. I don't know. But yeah, several radio people I knew there had the sideline of a medical subject, so to speak. We got Karen in Chicago. We got Brian in Seneca. We got Dave in LaGrange, Mike in Elmwood Park. Ralph is in Rockford. And there is one line available for you. Now, whether you get on the air or not, that's another thing. But if you'd like to call, that's great on WGN Radio.
Stop and thank you, baby. I want to stop and thank you, baby. Hey, now, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Oh, baby, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, it is. Close my eyes at night and wonder what would I be without you in my life. Everything was just a bore. All the things I did since I've done them before. But you brighten up all my days with a love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, baby.
Well, I don't think it's what Ruth had in mind, but it is how sweet it is to be loved by you. Holland Dozier Holland, Marvin Gaye, 1965. Of course, a slower version 10 years later by James Taylor. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Dave is in LaGrange, or he was a while ago. Are you still with us, Dave? Dave. Oh, we're going to talk about radio tubes, too. No, that'd be fun. All right, so Dave gave up, and who could blame him? Mike in Elmwood Park, are you with us?
Yes. Well, yes, I am.
All right.
What's I got up? A couple of requests.
Okay. I'm ready.
When you're ready.
I am.
Okay. Little Darling by the Diamonds.
Oh, okay.
And I've Told Every Little Star by Linda Scott.
Okay. So not the original Little Darling, huh? Okay. no Maurice Williams and the Gladiolas, huh? Got to pick.
I heard that they. Have the one. I've got it by the Diamonds.
Yeah, I know. Yes, yes. The Lily White Boys from Canada. Yes. All right, we'll do it.
Okay, I appreciate it, Raleigh. You
Thanks.
Have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, good. Yeah. It is the Gladiolas were a little hard to take, a little darling, and to give the Diamonds some due. I thought She Say was hilarious. And when they did that on the Beach Nut show on the Saturday Night Dick Clark show, it was truly hilarious. So, yeah, you can probably see that on YouTube. So what do we have with Brian and Seneca? What's up?
Yeah, see if I can get this in real quick. My advice or encouragement to Annette would be to lawyer up and sue. Now, moving out is also a good idea, but I would hold the moving out part until the suits are already going and she maintains her standing while moving somewhere else. Reason being, all of these low-income, reduced-income housing are either being done by government agencies or they're being done by private contractors with heavy government subsidies, thinking that they can make a little bit of profit off of the difference between what they're being paid and what it actually costs to provide below market rent to needing and deserving individuals. Now, from the standpoint of the landlord, I can understand why they don't want animals in general, because some people just can't take care of
Oh, yeah. No, that's absolutely
true. A guide dog size 7,500-pound dog, and you let one of those go for a while, and it's every bit as horrible as cleaning an apartment after you remove the old tenants. It's, cleaning dog is just about as bad as cleaning rotted corpse. You actually have to saw out the subfloor, hope to God the joists aren't hurt, put the subfloor back together, and then you can lay on the new carpeting, the new drywall, and so on.
But that's rarely the case with guide dogs. You're talking about pets.
Oh, it's almost it's very rarely the case with guide dogs, and guide dogs are also protected by law, which is why I encourage her to sue, because these people are having me help paying that rent.
You're right.
Which I'm happy to do, but they're having me do it at the barrel of a gun.
Right.
And they're abusing a nut.
I agree.
I don't want to pay for abusing a nut.
I agree. I'm glad you called. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
So good deal. Yes, absolutely. That's a possibility. May want to check where you can go, because you will be getting on a Dodge. But initially, if you do file suit, probably you'll be protected during part of that process, at least. We'll get to Karen in Chicago. She's got a bumper question. We got Scott in Valpo. Oh, C2C, why not? And Ralph in Rockford, Helen Shapiro. You betcha. On WGN Radio.
Novella that my lover was just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong. To hold in mind your little hand, I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My dear, I was wrong to try.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Well, I guess Maurice Williams laughed all the way to the bank, even though it was a cover of his original Little Darlin' on Excello in 1957. The Diamonds had the hit on Mercury in 1957. And if you wondered what Maurice Williams sounded like doing it, his group at the time was the Gladiolas. That's the way you'd have heard it on WLAC at night, that's for sure. Yeah, sponsored by Ernie's Record Mart. You betcha. And Ernie, of course, owned Excello. All right, so now, before we do anything else, I want to put Chris ahead of everybody, because he's talking about something that it's a pet peeve of mine, the Empire Carpet Jingle. All right, so Chris in South Carolina.
Hey, Raleigh.
Yes. Now,
I just had that jingle on my mind.
Well, it really bothers me. Now, the original jingle was actually written by a Chicago ad man, a guy who sung Barbershop, Lynn Haldren. And he was an advertising exec. And in fact, they called him the Empire Man and all that. And they kept the deal. And the jingle ended with 1-800-588-2300-EMPIRE. And it just trailed out. And I don't do it justice, God knows. But that was basically it. And this was the way it was forever, certainly from the early 80s and before. Well, in 2003, Empire Carpet changed their name, and they changed it to Empire Today because they were now selling window treatments and other options besides carpets. Well, they decided not to re-record the jingle, so they just butt-cut Today at the end of it. And every time I hear it, I just grit my teeth. It's like, come on! Yeah, and of course, you know, they replaced Lynn Haldren and all that. Well, you know, no, just start over. So anyway, that's my beef.
Yeah, that's a classic commercial, and I know the Chicago area stations aired that Empire commercial.
Well, not, yeah, of course, yeah, and they do have a new jingle. It doesn't necessarily sound better, but you know, we're talking about it, so maybe that's doing its job. Maybe it's selling lots of carpets and other things, but every time I hear it, it's just like, no!
Oh, yeah, I turned the channel.
Yep.
Did WGN Radio ever play that Empire commercial back in the day?
Of course.
Like on radio, I know TV did, but
yeah,
the
of
radio
course, of course, of course.
Yeah. I wonder if they got any old clips of it, the radio ad of Empire.
I don't know. It's been around since the 70s, for sure. And so, and I think it started in the 70s. That's the first time. And the TV commercials were actually kind of clever at first. And all those, I think, are on YouTube. But I would assume that the radio version wasn't much different. And I can't say that I really remember when I say, of course, but I'm 99% sure they did.
Yeah, I think when WGN had a superstation like Nationwide Channel, that's what I first saw when I was a kid.
Yeah, sure. Well, Channel 9, whether it was WGN or WOR or then later Turner with TBS, those were the ones carried on cable systems, sure.
Mm-hmm. And they became big.
Yes.
And look where they are now. WGN is no longer a superstation.
Well, but remember, you don't want to be anymore because you have many other things, including digital sub-channels on your main television stations, and you have the internet for things, and you can create virtual networks, things like News Nation. You know, it's just past tense now to do it in the superstation model. It's totally different.
Yeah, oh, you got your DVDs and stuff.
Yep. So anyway, always good to talk to you, but I wanted to put you ahead of the class because when I saw that Empire Today, I thought, oh, God, I hate it, I hate it. And I know I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah. It's a catchy tune, and there's other catchy commercials like Krispy Kreme, like I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut. You remember that?
I remember all that, but at least it wasn't badly edited. All right. Well, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it. All right.
Have a good fourth.
Yeah, you too.
Don't party too much.
I won't. I'll be working. All right. Yes, I will be working. 1-800-588-2300. All right. Yeah, there are a lot of had jingles. Now, see, that was long after my phone freaking days. The Sheridan commercials, 1-800-325-3535. That was something certainly I'd use to get into the system. All right. So, 888-876-5593. Scott and Valpo, what's up tonight, Scott?
Hey, first a request. The Highwayman by the Highwayman.
Maybe. That's all I'll
say.
Maybe.
Okay. You don't sound too enthusiastic.
No, I'm not.
Segue. I don't like George Norrie.
Well, who does?
You said radio was a small circle, so I figured you'd be the person to ask. What did they do to John B. Wells way back when?
Well, I think he probably challenged Norrie in terms of being better. But no, you know, this was Art Bell's baby, obviously. And it was great when Art did it. He was made for that show, you know. But when Art retired the first time, and, you know, I don't hide it. I was his designated replacement the first time, and I walked But anyway, they got, what the hell was his name? I worked with him at King in Seattle. I can't remember. But he was an attorney. Anyway, they had him for a few months, and then Art came back, which didn't surprise me, because if you saw the restrictive contract Art left on the first go-round, I kind of joked that, my God, he can't even appear in a public restroom. You know, it was very tight. So he had to come back to leave again. When he left the second time, the guy who headed Premiere at the time literally said, I want somebody who will be so grateful they're never going to complain a bit about what we ask them to do, what commercials we ask them to read, you know, because I wouldn't do the endorsements and stuff like that. And they got what they wanted. They got somebody who wouldn't complain and would read all the endorsements.
George Norrie will not complain.
He, you know, it's sad. And I used to hold my tongue about this, but I've since talked to numerous people who've worked with him who say that he's not really a nice guy. So with that in mind, I will say that if it gets dumber than George, I don't know who it is. But he doesn't complain. And the thing is, in 2007, my friend Sean, the reason that I'm on GN, who I will owe eternally forever, he asked me to do some weekends on Coast to Coast because they were losing affiliates and stuff like that. And I said, well, do Sunday nights occasionally. And so I did. But what was fascinating to me is when I did it the first time, when Art was still on the air, like 1999, every phone line was lit up. I mean, it was better than being on KFI in Los Angeles. Every, you know, I never, and they were all good callers. Well, the second time, I had less callers in 2007 on that show than I did when I did an internet-only show just to, you know, just to keep a server active. So, you know, that told me exactly where it was. And the quality of callers was just, you know. But the bottom line is that they make the meters move. You know, they have to do something at night, so put them on. But the bulk of the inventory from that show, the money doesn't come from the spots that run within it. They have the affiliates run a minute of daytime inventory a day, and that's where the money comes in. So, you know, it's he doesn't make a lot of money, and it doesn't offend anybody, I guess. I don't know. And so there it is. And what are your choices? Would you rather have Red Eye Radio? Problem with Red Eye Radio is there's more commercials than there is talk time. So if you're not gonna listen to that, what would you listen to on the radio at night?
Right. The last straw with George Norrie was he actually told the guest, "You can't say that. You can't say that. Like you can't say that."
No,
I thought this was
no the absolute. And by the way, there are websites full of Norrieisms, the things that the man has said. But the thing that got me,
you sound extremely sharp. Well, George Norrie, he's been losing it like the last two, three years. Yeah. He's gone way down.
Oh, no, it was always that way, trust me. But as far
I mean, sometimes they flash back and do earlier clips of him. It's noticeable.
Oh, man.
Like, so clear before compared to now.
Well, God, then I haven't heard it in years, so I guess it's a horror. But where
I hardly ever even check.
Where
because his, 9 out of 10 of their guests are really, really bad. I just don't need to listen.
I can tell you exactly where he lost all credibility is when he did the live read for the psychic pill. At that point, I said, that's it. And yeah. But he makes the meters move. The stations are on the air. And he says, from what I understand, he says he'll die in that chair. And I say, well, that's good because the show already died. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's my thought anyway. But if you find something good, let me know what it is. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah. There's opportunity there. And if I were a younger woman, maybe I'd be interested. But not at this stage of my life. Jeez, this is my swan song. But as long as Sean is at Nexstar, when he says jump, I say how high, and that's the way it works. So we've got Karen in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, you know, talking about that Empire commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when the spokesman died and everybody started paraphrasing the jingle?
Oh, God, yeah.
The one I remember, there were several. The one that I remember is 5 8 8 6 feet under.
Oh, oh, God. That's terrible.
My question was about TuneIn Radio. I listen to like, now when I listen to WGN or WBBM, anything like that, I'm fine. But I like to listen to MSNBC. And when I do that, I will get, they'll go on a break, and they'll go with 4 or 5 commercials in a row. And the ones that really annoy me, I can stand Capital One, but the one that gets me is the Sunnyside Cannabis Center. And the letter goes to me when the sun always shines, and then they go on about their product. It just annoys me.
Yeah. Well, those are pre-rolls. And the way, you know, they're pre-rolls, meaning that you have to suffer through that before you get to your show when you're listening to an aggregator. And that's what TuneIn basically is. It's not basically, it's what TuneIn is.
Oh, man. I'll be getting into a news item. They'll be talking about a subject. And then they'll break. And just when I'm really interested, they break into this garbage. And it just annoys me.
Well,
if I were to be the premium, what they do is when they have a break, it's like they rewound the news and you hear something you heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I wonder why that is.
It's a way to monetize it.
Oh.
It's how they make the money.
And there's nothing you can do about it, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it's when you're talking about aggregators, some of it's coming from the aggregator and some of it's coming from the feed. In other words, the station you're listening to. So you might have better luck with another aggregator. I don't know. See, I don't listen to that stuff, so I wouldn't know. But does MSNBC have a direct feed? And I didn't know they had an audio feed, but do they have a direct audio feed where you can go directly from there? Like if you want to listen to WGN, you can go to WGN's website and listen right there. If you want to
I get WGN on TuneIn, and it goes along just fine. No garbage, no, you know.
Right.
None of this goofy stuff.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, though, is there a feed of MSNBC that's not done through an aggregator? Can you go direct?
I don't know. I can ask. Maybe somebody would know. If I went to YouTube, would I do it?
No. Okay. They do not have their own standalone direct-to-consumer streaming service. They are slating to launch one. So the bottom line is you will use third parties, and so that's it. But this audio streaming. If you only need to listen to the feed, the audio live radio.net or MS Now audio link, you try that.
Oh, I might do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Those are
MS Now.
MS Now, and I'll tell you what MS Now's audio link is, and it is actually ms.now/msnbc/ms-now-live-audio-listen-live-stream-audio-all-day. I'll put a link on Raleigh.net for you.
Oh, my goodness. I have to write that down in Braille.
Well, it'd be ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll
put that link on Raleigh.net, and I'll also try to put the radio.net link if that's what you want to hear. I wouldn't listen to it to save my soul, but that doesn't matter. You like it, it's good enough for me. All right, so
that song that I asked about, John told me he thinks the name of it was soap opera.
Oh, Rupert Holmes, yes. Yes, absolutely.
I love that song. I never heard it before.
Oh, yeah, it was off the widescreen album. It's some of my favorite lyrics.
Oh, man, it's so cool. I'm going to get it on Alexa probably and listen to it so I can listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, there was a time when I heard myself a floodlit figure on the stage, the Metropolitan Opera, the Daily Critic's latest rage. But my voice went through a change about the same time as my skin. Now the opera is gone and what is left is getting awfully thin. Yeah, the opera.
Oh, God, that's wonderful.
Right, right. And here's the story up to date. Shirley's found another mate, though she'll wind up with her husband in the end. But her husband got no life. He can't make it with his wife, though a secretary's more than just his friend. It's a day-to-day routine, and I watch the TV screen, letting Bob and Shirley live my life for me. It's an opera made of soap using other people's hope, and tomorrow's show ain't soon enough for me. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. I will be checking out that link, and I really appreciate your help, and thanks for
absolutely
taking my call.
And if you go to the radio.net that I mentioned, that's really easy to find, and I'll put that link up there for you, too.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. So, good deal.
Is that all the one that, can I get Johnny Goins on that, too, or how do I get him?
Oh, any aggregator, but you'd go to Houston Radio Platinum, but I've got, I'll put links on that, too. Let me write that down, and
okay.
I will be happy to do that.
I enjoy listening
to
Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Johnny's great.
I always look forward to him.
Yeah, soundofthecity.net. But if you can't get it that way, you can get it through Houston Radio Platinum, but I will give you those. I'll let you know.
Okay, and right. You have my email?
I'm not going to do it by email. I'm going to put it on my website, and you're going to go look at my website.
Oh, that's how I'm stupid. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Raleigh.net, Rolly.net. Yeah, because other people may want it, too.
Great. Yeah, I have you in my contact, so I have no problem with
all right,
that.
Good deal. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah. And I know there's people who fall over when I put an MSNBC link on anything, but if that's what she wants to hear, hey. Who am I to say? All right, so Stacy is in Algonquin. Hello, Stacy. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, Raleigh.
How do you feel?
Oh, no, great.
Good.
Oh, good, good.
Yay.
I wanted to wish you and John a very happy 4th of July.
You too.
And I went for my mammogram today.
Oh, yeah? You're still doing that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I do.
Okay.
No, but everything's really good.
Excellent. Good to hear it.
And I just wanted to just send all of my blessings and to your listeners that are very sick.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
And I just send all of Stacy's special blessings.
Yep.
But we're having a party Saturday.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to do?
A July party.
Yeah? Fireworks?
Great.
You going to fireworks Saturday night?
I don't know. Not me.
Okay.
But we have a really good singer coming. So, okay. And the weather's been really warm and
yeah.
Hot.
Yeah, downright hot.
But now we're having like a rainstorm.
Oh, yeah, tonight was actually dicey. In fact, when I was talking with Adam, I said, hey, if you've got weather reports, just break into me, because what I'm doing is not important when it comes to weather and things like that. So, but apparently they didn't.
Hopefully, I think it calmed down a little bit.
Yes, looks like it.
But I just want to say, have a happy, happy 4th of July.
Right. You too.
You and John, and all my blessings.
All right.
And all the blessings for anyone that was sick that called in.
Okay. Well, good deal. We will talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah. I sure will try, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Happy 4th.
Right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And Stacy did all the heavy lifting. She got out of the situation after her husband passed away and got in another situation. Most people, you know, a lot of inertia, but no, she took the bull by the horns and changed her life. It's absolutely terrific. All right, are we going to have time for Ralph in Rockford? I hope so. Either that or we'll get back to the soap opera lyrics. But right now we'll do this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's wonderful to have so many people calling, and it's always sad at the end of the show when you're still hanging. But apologies to all, and especially Ralph in Rockford. We would have had a rousing discussion about Helen Shapiro. Instead, I'm giving the words to soap opera. All right, and many more words, too. So on that note, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank all of you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. I'll have the links, including, you know, the link is already up there for the petition for saving WBT's transmitter site. So that'll all be at Rolly.net before the evening is out. Well, before my evening is out. Anyway, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Flame to flame, plus throng of sewers and phantom phone fiasco. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Playing with fire, born with a burning desire to set the world on fire. A volunteer firefighter near Philly showing encourage plunder fire when he set at least 3 blazes, cops say, then showed up in a haze of glory to help fight off the flames with his fellow fire fellas.
Smoke on the Plotter accused of arson involving a barn, a garage, and several vehicles. The law claims it got a look at Hero to Zero's wheels spotted at all three fires. Now he's cooling his heels in the slammer. Great galls of fire. Gross flusters. Subterranean gnome trick crews. Grime, slime, and crime in the sewers of New York as mysterious men from Brooklyn manholes emerge in the middle of the night from the septics of the city's squalid sewage system. NYC riding a wave of unease as the collection of creepy crud characters are caught on camera coming out of the hellholes and hightailing it away from the heat. What under the earth are these scream-age mutants doing down there? Something stinks in the city that ever seeps. Out of hand. A Florida traffic ticket tangle turned totally thumb-twisting when a woman was cited for holding a phone in her right hand, a hand she doesn't have. The viral video sparked finger-pointing, palm-smacking, and plenty of public pushback before prosecutors finally dropped the charge. You've got to hand it to the prosecutors for eventually letting go of a case that never had a leg or a hand to stand on. Looks like somebody lost their grip on the facts long before they got a handle on the evidence. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.